Good morning. It is good to be here with you. I'd like to welcome you all here, welcome those that are watching online today. As David said, I'm now back on this campus after 3 years in Southlake, and it's been a great opportunity to make new family in Southlake, and that campus is just continuing to grow and is going to be great under the leadership of Nino Elliott there. And y'all are stuck with me again back here, and so I'm excited to be here. Also, want to let you know, some of you came for week three of Mist because Rick has been in a new series, and he's obviously not here. He's in California this weekend, but he will be continuing that series next week, and we'll be looking forward to being with you. He always hates to miss being here, but I'm sure he's roughing it in Southern California this weekend. While I'm thinking of him in California, I'm reminded of my most recent trip, which is to Colorado over Christmas. My family travels up there usually every Christmas because my wife Stacy's family has a house there. And so we left this year on the 22nd of December to go spend Christmas there. And it was one of those trips that we were looking so forward to. And as we began heading out of town, I began to feel bad. And it just progressively gets worse. I'm asthmatic. I was having trouble breathing. I was fighting a fever. And by the time we got to Abilene, I pulled over and said, okay, y'all have to drive. I'm out. And we drove the rest of that day, and we spent the night at a hotel in New Mexico. And I should have known what the trip was going to be like, because that night there's five of us. There were two beds and a couch. And my wife made me sleep on the other bed with my youngest son, Caleb, because he wasn't feeling too good either. So she quarantined me from the start of that trip. And then the next day we got up to go the rest of the way, and I was feeling just worse and worse. And it was one of those, every little town we went through, I was thinking, should I try to find an urgent care center? Should I find an emergency room? But the thing was that we always get to Colorado and cut down our Christmas tree. And it was the 23rd, and we didn't have a tree yet. And I knew if we stopped, that was going to set us even further back. So I took one in the neck for the team, and we just kept going. And so by the time we get about 30, 45 minutes outside of our cabin, I'm driving, and the kids and my wife say, hey, pull over. You look so bad, you don't need to be driving. And so they make me get out. They finish driving the rest of the way. We get to the cabin, and when we get there, Stacy goes, I'm calling a doctor. Now, what you need to know is we're outside of civilization at this cabin in southern Colorado. The closest doctor is 30 miles away. And we get an appointment for me later that afternoon. And in the meantime, we head out to get the Christmas tree. Now, I get to feeling so bad, I'm like, okay, I've got to go. I'm going to go to the doctor. Now, I'd like to make a side note here that they didn't think I felt good enough to drive the last 30 minutes to the cabin with them all in the car. But once we got in the snow, they seemed to think that I was okay to drive myself 30 minutes. Now, I will say my youngest son, Caleb, if he could drive, he would have driven me. He was concerned about me, but the rest of them didn't care. And so I drive to this town. I get to the doctor, and I'm shaken. I'm miserable. It's 7 degrees outside. I see this country doctor who diagnoses me with an upper respiratory infection. He gives me a shot, and he tells me to go take 4 Advil, take 2 Mucinex D, and to get this prescription for an antibiotic filled. So I go next door to the little pharmacy. I turn it in, and I realize they're probably calling the police thinking that I'm a drug addict or something, because I'm shivering in my coat just in that pharmacy. And I remember I've got Advil in my car and Mucinex D in my car. So I go take 4 Advil, 2 Mucinex D, without thinking that I hadn't eaten in about 5 hours. So I finally get my antibiotic. I begin driving back to the cabin, the 30 miles back by myself. And as I drive, I realize I'm probably not going to make it back in this condition. But the last 17 miles to the cabin, there's no cell service. And so as I get to the last town before that, I call my wife and I say, okay, I'm going to meet you halfway, and I'm going to pull over by the side of the road, and I'm going to wait. And she said, okay, Carly and Colby, my 2 oldest kids, will come and get you. And so I pull to this area. I back in this little road off the main highway. There's snow everywhere. It's 7 degrees outside. I put the car in park, turn the flashers on, and I get over in the passenger seat, and I wait. And I'm not exactly sure what happened, if it just took them a while to get ready or they took a wrong turn, but it seemed like I was there forever. And I'm by the side of the road, and I'm sick, and I'm alone, and I feel forgotten. And it made me realize that I think all of us know what it feels like to be forgotten. I think that's something that we've all shared at one time or the other, that we feel alone and isolated, forgotten. So I started my daily Bible reading this year and started in Genesis. I got again to the life of Joseph in Genesis 37 through 50. We did Summer Spectacular on the life of Joseph last year. Rick preached on it, so I know many of you are familiar. But every time I read the life of Joseph, I'm just inspired, and I find something that I didn't know before. But to recap you just quickly, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. Once he was in captivity, he was taking care of his boss's house, and his boss's wife accused him of molesting her, of raping her. He was accused of a crime he didn't commit and was thrown in prison. He was left in captivity or prison most of his early life. And when he was in prison, he met two of the king's servants, the baker and the chief cupbearer, the right-hand man of the king. And they had some dreams, and they asked Joseph to interpret them. And whenever Joseph interpreted the cupbearer's dream, he said, "You're going to be restored to your position with the king. And when you are, when you're released and when you're restored, remember me. Remember me before the king and get me out of this captivity that I'm in." And then we read this verse at the end of Genesis 40, the last verse, verse 23. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. He forgot him. In fact, not only did he forget him that day, but the first verse of the next chapter says 2 full years had passed. So it's not like he forgot Joseph for a minute or he forgot him for a day or 2 days. 2 full years forgotten. At this point, he was 30 years old, and 13 of those years had been spent in prison or in slavery. Forgotten. Alone. Abandoned. You know, there's many biblical characters that resonate with that feeling. The same feeling that many of us have had. Maybe we can relate to David's words in Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? So as I prepared this lesson today, I tried to think of what you would feel in the seats when you hear the thought of being forgotten. So I wonder what's happened in your life to make you feel forgotten. Maybe it's that you've been without a job for some time and it seems like every job opening that you want gets filled by somebody else. Maybe you were abandoned as a child by a parent, or maybe in a marriage by a spouse. Maybe you decided to really stick yourself out there and love someone, maybe in a dating relationship or maybe just in a friendship that you would trust and you would love, and that love was not returned and you feel forgotten. And like so many in Scripture, we cry out in those moments, like Jeremiah in Lamentations 5, verse 20, "Why do you continue to forget us? Why have you abandoned us for so long?" You see, we cry out to God wondering why He's forgotten us. And He hears our cries. And He understands. Because God knows what it feels like to be forgotten. See, not only do we struggle in our lives with feeling forgotten, we have the tendency to forget God as well. Maybe it's in times when things are really bad and you blame God for what's going on in your life. And you're like, if this is what following you has given me, God, then I give up, forget you, and I'm just going to turn my back on him. But maybe there's those times that you get driven to your knees and you draw close to God during those times. But when things are good, you forget him. When things seem to be going your way and you're receiving blessing, then it's easy to think that it's just because you've done things right and you turn your back on God. God knew that feeling. In Hosea 13:6, he says, "But when you had eaten and you were satisfied, you became proud and you forgot me." And so there's times that we need him in distress, but when things are going well for us, when we're successful, when our relationships are good, then we forget him. We get satisfied and proud, and he knows what it feels like to be forgotten. But not only do we have a tendency to forget God, we go one step further and we replace God. See, we get so self-sufficient that we begin to worship money and success and power and relationships. And so not only do we forget him, we replace him, we start worshiping other things. He said in Jeremiah 18, verse 15, "Yet my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless idols." And I wonder how many worthless things we spend our days chasing, completely forgetting God. So we feel forgotten, but he understands what that feels like, because even though we've forgotten him, he never leaves us. He never turns his back on us. And I know that I left you on the edge of your seat wondering how I survived the Arctic blast of 2013. You see, before I go any further, as I'm there beside the road by myself in the passenger seat of the car, I have a streak in my life of not throwing up for 27 years. And I thought the streak was in danger. And so that Advil and that Mucinex is sitting on that empty stomach, and I feel the streak coming to an end. And for some reason, I just decide you'll feel better if you stick your head between your legs. So I'm on the side of the road in the car alone with my head in between my legs, feeling forgotten, scared, when I feel somebody outside my window. And I look outside and roll my window down, and there's a guy there that's ridden up on a four-wheeler with his son. And he says, "Sir, are you doing okay?" I said, "No, not really. You know, I've just been to the doctor, I've taken some medicine, and I'm waiting for my kids to come and get me." "Are you sure you don't need anything?" "No, I'm okay." "All right." So he drives off. And as he drove off, I wondered, why did I let him drive off? And I'm there for another few minutes, seems like 3, 4, 5 more minutes, and I feel him there again. He told me his name was Quittum, and he said, "Sir, if you don't keep talking to me, I'm going to call an ambulance." And I said, "You know what, I'm okay, you go on, my kids are coming, get back in your house, it's cold out here." And he said, "No, I'm going to stay with you until they come." And he did. And I don't know if he was an angel. I don't know who was watching over me. I do know he was real because my kids talked to him when they got there. But his presence in that time of feeling alone and forgotten reminded me of God's promises to me. And so when we forget God, when we have a tendency forgetting things, the word that you would say was, well, don't forget, remember. And so there's two things I want you to remember today. Remember God's presence during the dark times. See, him showing up during that time of aloneness served a little bit to remind me that I wasn't alone. And God's presence is with us even in the dark times. Even when you feel like nobody cares and you've been forgotten, remember God's presence during those times. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9 says, "We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed." See, and I don't know where you are right now, but you may feel those words are very descriptive. Pressed, perplexed, hunted down, knocked down, but never abandoned by God. Whatever's going on, whatever dark time you're in right now, you're never abandoned. Remember God's presence during those dark times. You know, last week, Rick shared the story of Truman Gist with us, who's struggling now with a very aggressive form of leukemia. And this week, they got some test results back of clear spinal fluid. And I noticed in social media just people praising and even on their face praising God during that time. And I thought how appropriate it was, because this is good news, but the struggle continues. The times are still dark, but we can praise God and remember His presence during those darkest times. You see, Joseph modeled that for us. Because in chapter 39, when he's in captivity, when he's accused for a crime he didn't commit, when he's in prison, three times in chapter 39 we read the words, "The Lord was with Joseph." The Lord was with Joseph. See, not just in the good times, but in the darkest times, the Lord was with Joseph. His presence was there. When it was the darkest, Joseph felt God's presence and just kept walking. Reminded me of a story of Cliff Young. Cliff Young was 61 years old in 1983 when he signed up to run the 544-mile Sydney Ultra Marathon. You heard me right, 544 miles at 61 years old. And he showed up in boots and overalls to run it. And the other runners made fun of him. And he just said, "You know what? I've worked on a farm and I've herded sheep and cattle. Sometimes they get out and I've got so many acres, I'm awake 2 or 3 days in a row chasing them." So he signed up. It goes from Sydney to Melbourne, these 544 miles. And as the race began, the runners took off and left him in the dirt. And he just went. And he kept going. And as they laughed at him, he ended up winning the race. In a time of 5 days, 15 hours, and 4 minutes. 5 days, 15 hours, and 4 minutes. He won it by 10 hours. And he beat the previous record by 2 days. And you may wonder how he did this. And the way he did it was the runners that took off, they went out and they run for 18 hours nonstop. And then they stop and sleep for 6 hours. And when they did, Cliff Young kept going. In the dark, he kept going. When everybody stopped, he kept going. For 5 days. And you see, I feel like that principle relates to us, is that when the times are darkest, we've just got to keep putting one foot in front of the other, continue in this race called life, and just keep going. Remember God's presence. When it's the darkest times, keep going. And then remember God's promise to never forget you. Remember God's promise never to forget you. When I was reading this story and I came to that verse at the end of chapter 40 and I saw that the chief cupbearer didn't remember Joseph, he forgot him. I said audibly in my quiet time, "He may have forgotten him, but God didn't." And you see, Joseph was forgotten by the cupbearer, but he wasn't forgotten by God. And he didn't forget God either. Because in chapter 41, Pharaoh has a dream and they have nobody to interpret that dream. And so they bring Joseph in. And five times in 16 verses of chapter 41, Joseph calls on God's name. Because even though he had been in prison in captivity, he knew that God would be faithful to his promises. And so Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream and he gets one final promotion that we read about in Genesis 41, verse 43. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand and he placed it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in fine linen clothing and he hung a gold chain around his neck. Then he had Joseph ride in the chariot reserved for his second in command. And wherever Joseph went, the command was shouted, "Kneel down." So Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of all Egypt. See, he went from prison to being second in command. And sometimes when we're forgotten and then we're remembered, we're lifted up and our circumstances change. Joseph's circumstances changed. He felt forgotten and then he was remembered and it completely changed his circumstances. He kept faithful in the dark times and he was lifted up. And I want you to know that God promises to remember you as well. In Hebrews 13 verse 5, he says, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." Never. Promises. Jesus in Luke 12 verse 6 says, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. You are worth more than many sparrows." And that's great news. See what Jesus is saying? There's birds that are just worth little pennies. And God remembers them. You're worth so much more than that to him. He will never forget you. If I could yell it so loud that you'd never forget it, I want you to know today, he will never forget you. Remember that promise. But I've got to be honest with you. Joseph was remembered and he was lifted up and his circumstances changed. Sometimes, even though we're not forgotten, our circumstances won't change. In this world, we're going to face trials and tribulation, and we may feel forgotten, and we remember God's presence, and we remember his promise, but our circumstances stay the same. Jenny New is one of our ministers that a few weeks ago in a Wednesday night class shared a story of a time she felt very alone, forgotten, as a single mom. And I wanted her to share this story with you. So watch the screen.
17 years ago, I was beginning my journey as a single mom. It was Saturday morning, and it was time for me to mow my yard. As I got out into my messy garage, I raised my heavy garage door. I was just feeling overwhelmed and aggravated, and I just shoved my lawnmower out into the driveway. The sentence I said aloud was, "I guess I'm going to do this by myself like I've done everything else." I began starting my mower and began mowing. And as I began mowing, mowed a couple of rounds, and all of a sudden I heard another mower. I turned around, and there was my 86-year-old neighbor, Mrs. Holmes, with her mower coming across the street, already started. She began just mowing right behind me, taking the next round of grass down. So I turned around, I was like, "Stop, you don't need to do this." And she looked at me fiercely and said, "I'm mowing." So we just mowed and mowed for a while that morning. Finally, we wrap up at the end of the yard. Everything is better. My yard is completely mowed. And I turned around with my face just flushed with tears. And I said, "Mrs. Holmes, why have you done this?" And she said, "Let me tell you something. I got up this morning, mowed early because it was so hot. I cleaned up, changed clothes, was sitting down in my living room." And she said, I heard something. I looked out and there you were mowing your yard. And she said, "I thought if there's one thing that's not going to happen today, it's going to be that Jenny mows her yard by herself." Then she said, I was married to an alcoholic for years. I did a lot of things by myself. You're not going to. She was right.
See, you're not alone. You're not alone. God's presence is there. He promises to be with you. And it may take a neighbor mowing next to you or a stranger on a four-wheeler in Colorado to remind you, but you're not alone. And so this morning, if you're taking care of your parents, you're not alone. If you feel like you've had a string of just bad accidents and you just feel like you're under pressure, you're not alone. If you are depressed and you're just waiting for that depression to lift and you're crying out, you're not alone. If you're here again as a single parent another Sunday bringing your kids alone again, you're not alone. If you're an addict or you're in prison, you're not alone. If you're still unemployed and you're looking for that job, you're not alone. And especially in those moments when you find yourself at the hospital or the cemetery, you're not alone. In those darkest times, remember God's presence. Hold on to His promises. You see, we had one prisoner of Joseph that has taught us about God's presence during those darkest times, and his situation's changed. But another prisoner didn't. Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, who's in prison and who's been on trial, gives us this word in verse 16. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and He gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, his circumstances didn't change. People had forgotten him. And that may be where you are right now. You may feel forgotten. People may have abandoned you, but God hasn't. In Paul's words, he said, but the Lord stood at my side and He gave me strength. And so in this world, as you feel forgotten, remember the Lord is standing by your side, giving you strength. But He also promises to deliver you safely to His heavenly kingdom. And if you wonder about that, if you're living in fear of the end of this life, then know you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. You need to confess Him as your Lord and Savior today. You need to put your sins to death in that baptistry and be raised to a new life. But not just to a new life here, but to the security of eternal life. Because then we could say like Paul, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. To God be the glory forever and ever. He doesn't forget. You are remembered. Remember His presence. Remember His promise. Would you please stand? I want to pray over you, especially today, if you're feeling forgotten. We're going to have our prayer team be taking their place up here at the front. Whatever needs you have to respond today for prayer, for rejoicing, to be baptized this morning like some will be, it's a great day to do that. And so let me pray and then you can respond as you need to. Father, thank you so much for remembering us. God, thank you for your presence during the dark times. God, thank you for your promise never to forget us. And God, for those times that we've gotten full and satisfied and proud and we've forgotten you, God, we ask for you to forgive us today. And we thank you, God, that in spite of our forgetfulness, you never do. And so, God, for those that are here today that are feeling forgotten, abandoned, alone, would they feel your presence alongside them? We thank you for Jesus Christ and that he has come to deliver us safely to your heavenly kingdom. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Standing on this mountaintop, looking just how far.